see, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he has a different opinion. He says, "Im Omar Gimel Gimel Mikulon Yotze." He says, if he said three psukim from each one of them, then he has fulfilled the obligation. Because what does Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri talking about? This is the question. And we'll see, this is one of the things that we're going to discover as to whether he means three psukim. But he leaves out what? Number 10. Is that what it means? Or does he have a different idea altogether? But firstly, he asks the following question. Remember I told you to keep your siddur open? Okay. Gemara starts by saying, Hani asura malchiyus keneged mi, Omar. We want to know, do we have some kind of a reference in the Bible that we should have 10 psukim for malchiyos? Okay? So, one opinion is, keneged asura hilulim shomar dovid b'sefer tehillim. So he says, well, 10, because this is can be compared to the 10 words of praise that King David said in the book of Psalms. So immediately they say, Hilulim Tuvahal. What do you mean? There are many more than 10 praises. I mean, take a look. One psalm after another, right, speaks of praise to the Beit Shalem. So what 10 are you talking about? So he says, Hanach Tachtiv Behu. We're talking specifically about those words of praise that we find in what? Hallelujah B'Seka Shofar. In other words, the psalm that we have on page 482. You have Hallelujah, right? Hallelujah Kevakocho, right? You have one. Hallelujah B'Kiyozo, two. Hallelujah B'Kiyozo, three. Hallelujah K'vev Gudlo, four. Hallelujah B'Seka Shofar, five. Hallelujah B'Nei Fokinor, six. Hallelujah B'Sofim Mochol, seven. Hallelujah B'Minim Yugov, that's eight already. Hallelujah B'Tzutzele Shoma, right? This is number nine, and Hallelujah B'Tzutzele Surah. So that 10 times it says Hallelujah in this psalm. All right? So in other words, he's showing the fact, you know, that King David said, praise God with 10 different words of praise, right? So that this is the reason why he says 10 psukim for Malchus. Okay. And of course, Hallelujah B'Seka Shofar is one of them. I mean, the sounding of the shofar. So that it's appropriate, since we say that we blow the shofar at the conclusion of Malchus, so that here is a reference to it in the psalm itself. Okay. Next. Rav Yosef Amar, he says, his own opinion, but he says, Keneged Atzeres HaDibros, Shenemu Novel Moshe B'Sinai. He says, no, you know what? In my opinion, he says, the 10 psukim that we recite, the Malchios, is in order to remind us of what? Of the 10 commandments that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Mount Sinai. So in other words, just as we see that how does the section of Shofros begin? It begins with the revelation upon Mount Sinai, right? So that therefore, this is the reason why that we have 10 psukim. Okay? Then, we come to another famous quotation. That's Rabbi Yochanan Omar. He said, "Is keneged asora ma'amoros shebehen nivra ha'olam." He says, this is to remind us of the 10 words with which the Rabbeinu Shalom created the world. Of course, we have this at the very beginning of what? Of chapter 5 in Pirkei Avos, which begins with the words, right? Ba'asora ma'amoros nivra ha'olam, right? Etc., etc. I mean, that part of the quotation is the same as what we have over here, but then it goes off to teach something else, whereas over here, he's quoted that fact, and how do we know this? This always appears in the Rashi, and the Rav, and so on, the commentaries, they always quote from here in order to show, because they ask the following questions. They say, Hai Ninhu, what are the 10 words, first of all? So he says, it's Vayomer. Right? Where it's written, Vayomer, Elokim Yehi Or, right? Vayomalahim, Yehirokia Besachamoyim, etc., etc. You know, God said, let there be light. God said, let there be a firmament. God said, let there be a division between the waters, etc., etc., etc. Okay? So they say, wait a minute, hold it, hold it, hold it. Say, Vayomah Dibereshis, Teshavu. If you count how many times it says Vayomer over there, you know, in the Parsha of Bereshis, you find that there are only 9 times that the word Vayomer is found in connection with a different act of creation, right? So where do you get 10 from? So the answer is Bereshis Name Mamahu. The word Bereshis itself, it has to imply that this was also by God's word. Even though it doesn't begin with the words Vayomer Elokim Yehi Bereshis or something like that, you understand? But this too is with God's word. How do we know that? Because we have a pasuk in Tehillim. Nichsev, it's written, Bidvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu, right? By the word of God were the heavens created. Okay? So now we know that this is the reason why we say that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world with 10 Ma'amorim, right? And not, you know, with the 9 Ma'amorim, okay? And 10 is a reference then that we find with 10 Pesukim that we recite on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah, wherein we want to celebrate the fact that this is the day which is like the birthday of the world, right? The day of creation. We call to mind, you know, the significance of the fact that we are God's creations. All right. So far, so good. Now, Ibalahu, so the question was asked to the Heche Kotonin. Excuse me, yeah, I left that one line. Okay. They go back now to the quotation of the Mishnah, which says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer Imumah Shalosh Shalosh Mikol Yosef. If he said 3 from each one of them, then he has fulfilled it. So Ibalahu, the question was asked, Heche Kotoni, what exactly did he teach us? Shalosh min haTorah, 3 psukim from the Torah. Shalosh min haNeviim, 3 psukim from the prophets. The Shalosh min haKsuvim, 3 psukim, you know, from the Ksuvim, the holy words. So he says the Havutesha, right? So add 3 and 3 and 3, and what do you get? You get 9, right? So are we to say then the Ikar b'nayhu chado, so that therefore the difference between the first authority, the Tanakam, as we would say, in other words, at the beginning where it says not less than what? Not less than 10. And according to this, then what he's saying is that 9, so in other words, what is the difference in the amount of psukim between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yochanan Nuri? We would say that it is 1, chada, right? Difference between 10 and 9. Oh, Dilma, or maybe that's not what he meant. Maybe what he wants to say is Echad min haTorah, the Echad min haNeviim, the Echad min haKsuvim, the Havim lehu Shalosh. In other words, take one pasuk from the Torah, take one pasuk from the Neviim, take one pasuk from the Ksuvim, right? And altogether, then, what do you have? You have 3. So in that particular case, what he's saying is that you have 3 from Malchios, 1 each from Torah, Neviim, Ksuvim, right? 3 for Zichronos, again the same thing. 1 pasuk from Torah, another one from Neviim, Ksuvim, and the same thing, you know, for Shofros, right? Maybe that's what he's saying. And if that's the case, then that means that there are many, many differences between what he says and what the Tanakhama says, right? Who said 10 for each section. So Tashba. So they say, okay, let's learn from a Baraisa. Says the Tanya. We learned in a Baraisa, Ein Poksum Yasor Malchios Biasor Zichutz Biasor Shofos, right? That you do not have any less than 10 psukim for Malchios, 10 psukim for Zichronos, and 10 psukim for Shofros. The Imomar Sheva Nikulon Yotza. And if he said only 7 instead of 10 of each one, then nevertheless he has fulfilled the obligation of reciting psukim in connection with these various sections of the Musaf service. And why 7? So he says, Kineged Shiva Rekiyim. Because 7 reminds us that there are 7 heavens. I'm sure you've all heard about 7 heaven, right? So there are 7 heavens. I'm not going to all of them, but for example, you have Shomayim, you have Rakia, you have Zvul, you have Ba'on. This is a Kabbalistic idea which goes back to the time of the Talmud. You understand? They already were talking about this, okay? So that the mystic, and the Talmud, you also have mysticism. You have it. It's not only halacha, it's not only agora, but you also have mysticism as well in there. So that's a very, very ancient business. And therefore, the idea being that, you know, we have different words that speak about sky, heaven, and so on and so forth. So each one represents a higher elevation than the other. Until finally, in the uppermost one, this is where the Kisei HaKovod is, right? Where the holy throne of the Rebbeinu Shalom is, he's in the highest heaven. Okay? All right. So, maybe this is what the Baraisa that they quote over here means, that you have 7 for each one, is Genug. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and now they're quoting again Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Omar, and this time he says, Hapoches, this is different, as you notice, from the quotation that we had in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Here, he's quoted as saying that the one who says less than what? Of course, the answer is less than 10 for each one, right? Lo yifchos misheva. He should not say any less than 7 psukim. The yimomar shalosh mikulon, but if he said 3 from each one of them, yotzo, then he has fulfilled his obligation, and that's kineged Torah nevi'im k'suvim, right? So maybe then we say that what he means by the 3 then is if he recites 1 for the Torah, 1 from the Nevi'im, 1 from the Ksuvim, for each section, so is Yotze. Okay, now the question is, why Torah, what is the reference to Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim? Why do we quote from all 3 of them? So there are those who say it is Kineged, Kehanim, Nevi'im, Yisrael. In other words, the 3 different sections that we recite remind us also that there were 3 what? 3 classes of Jews, right? And the Kehanim, Nevi'im, and the Yisraelim, and altogether, you know, we form a Jewish people standing in judgment before the Rebbeinu Shalom. Omer Avuna, and the Rav Huna said, Omer Shmuel, the name of Shmuel, he said, Halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. He says, Halacha taka follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Now, of course, the question is, how can you square the Halacha following Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri with the fact that the Halacha actually says not to say anything less than tepsukim for each one? So the answer is, Nechatchilo, which remains, remember again, to begin with, what should you recite? You should recite 10 psukim for each section, okay? But with the Evid, if a person could only remember to recite 1 from the Torah, and 1 from the Levim, and 1 from Kesuvim, he has already fulfilled the obligation of citing sources, you know, for that particular section. Yeah.
Isn't that part is part of the whole. Like the Kohanim, if they do one part, it needs the whole thing, if you know what I'm saying.
They have their function, right. The Levim have their function, and the Yisrael have their function too, okay.
I know, but the part, doing just the way we sit, if we sit Shiva, if you say part, you know, a part of the day, it already includes the whole thing.
Yeah, but that's only the last day that it counts, or the first day. Doesn't count for the other day.
Right.
Okay. Because you can't just sit part of the day and say that you're sitting Shiva if it's the second day, the third day, the fourth day, whatever it may be. It applies to the first day, Yeah. It applies to the seventh day.
But yeah. Don't the Kohanim, when the blood, they have to touch different parts. And touching one part is as though they touch the whole part.
You're talking about when they have to sprinkle blood
right,
on the Mizbeach.
Right.
Okay. Well, that depends on what the particular sacrifice is. Because if you take a look at the Siddur, which has an English translation, you take a look at Ezehu Mekomish HaTzvach, which you find in the early part of the Shachmas service over there. So then they speak about different kinds of sacrifices. The Olah, the Chatos, the Oshom, and so on. And over there they tell you how many corners of the Mizbeach have to be sprinkled with the blood by the Kohen, okay? And some of them require only one sprinkle, okay? And others require on all four corners. And so it all depends what is the nature of the sacrifice, yeah? But, well, of course, what is the function of the Kohen? And the Beis HaMikdash, his function was in order to perform the sacrificial system. The Levium, what did they have to do? Obviously, they sang in the choir, okay? They did guard duty over there. It was their job to stand on the walls, to stand by the gates and everything else and so on. It was their duty to play musical instruments during the time of the service and things like that and so on. What about the Yisraelim? What do they have to do? The answer is to come and bring kabonis and to be present, because the prayer service was being carried on for their benefit. So we each had a role to play in the Beis HaMikdash. And as I say, we each have a role to play in carrying on Jewish life.
The reason I connected is that even one from each part was sufficient.
Yeah, well, it may or may not be.
Okay.
May or may not be. But according to Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, if you said even one pasuk from each one, okay. Of course, I want to remind you again, right now we have everything written down for us. You have it over here in the Siddur, which happens to have, you know, the basic Musaf service. And of course, it's true in our Basorim, which has exactly the very same passages, correct? And so all the psukim have already been formulated for us, okay? So we don't have to go trying to dredge our memory in order to try to find, you know, an appropriate pasuk. But this was not true at the time of the Gemara. In those days, it was still in formation. Okay? So that's why they say that you should cite this and this and this. Now, obviously, not everybody was a scholar. So for the benefit of those who were not scholars, we had, Chazonim. You know, somebody, Shliach Tzibur, who went up in order to daven for the Eilu, right? And to be motzi, as we would say, in order to enable the Eilu to fulfill their obligation through listening and through answering the various responses, answering Amen and so on. So that the listeners, too, had to have the kavanah that they wanted to be yotzei with the words of the chazan. Okay. We'll have more yet as we come towards the end of this particular tractate. Really, this is really the origin of the idea of having a Shliach Tzibur leading the service. Okay. Now, precisely because at this particular time we did not have, you know, the standard formulation that we have today, so therefore the Mishnah now at the very bottom of the page continues by saying, Ein maskirin zikorein malchus v'shofar shel puranos. I'm including the words that we have in the bracket, because what it means is that we do not mention a pasuk, whether it is for zikroinos or malchios or shofros, which deals with a dire catastrophe for the Jewish people, where the Rebbeinu Shalom says it's going to punish the people for their sins. That's one thing. Then the Mishnah continues and it says, Maschil b'Torah, Mashal Minovi. Alright? He begins with citations from the Torah and he concludes with a citation from the Novi, from the Neviim. Alright, as we saw, remember the order then is Torah, Kisuvim, or as they say, Divrei Kotshecha, right? And then the Nevi'im. Okay, so we see that that fulfills that part. And now, along comes Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi Yemer im Hishnim Batori Yotze. He says, if he concluded the citations with a quotation from the Torah, then he has fulfilled the obligation. Now, of course, we do that automatically, because as I showed you, in the last paragraph of each of them, they have a quotation. As for example, Malchus ends with what? It ends with Shema Yisrael and Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, even though it doesn't say over there Melech. But nevertheless, this is considered also as being Malchus. And as we saw today, Kotcha Kotcha Leimar, we have over there Mitzvachatahim Bris Rishonim, and so that's also from the Torah. You know, the God says, I remember for your sake, you know, the covenant that I made with your ancestors, and so on and so forth. And then at the concluding of the Nevi'im, where it says, you know, V'yom Simchatzchem Mo'adechem, and so on and so forth. Again, the quotation from the Torah, where it says, Eskatem Bachtzotzos El Seichem, that you shall blow trumpets over your burnt offerings, and so on and so forth. Of course, we had earlier this year a whole discussion about the difference, however, between what? Between the shofar and between the chatzotzer, between the ram's horn, right, that we blow, and between trumpets, the silver trumpets that they play. Okay, but nevertheless, this pasuk is cited because in connection with Rosh Hashanah, you know, it says Rosh Chodeshim, and Rosh Hashanah is still what? It's still Rosh Chodesh, okay? It's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So that, therefore, there is a connection between them. Okay. So now we continue on Lamed Beis, Omed Beis. Alright. So, the Mishnah said, if you, by, does everybody have their copy of the next page? Okay. Wait a moment while we pass them out. Okay, this is Lamed Beis, Omed Beis, okay? Yeah. All right. You see on the top over there it says Gemara Malchus. You see it? Yeah. This is where we are right now. Malchus. Okay. Yeah. What happened? Did we give out the wrong pages?
No, got mixed.
Okay.
Some old ones got passed back.
Yeah, all right. All right. The Mishnah said, if you remember, that when we are saying the Musav, we do not mention a Pasuk which speaks of Puranus, which speaks about service for the people of Israel. Okay. So they say Malchios. All right, let's say for the section of Malchios, give me an example of a Pasuk that we should not recite. So it says, Kigon, for example, Chai oni niyom Hashem alikim, im lo biyot chazok v'zoin netuyo v'chei moshfuche im loch aleichem. Okay. This is a quotation from the prophet Yechezkel, and he says, as I live, saith the Lord God, that surely with a yot chazoko v'zoin netuyo, with, you know, a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, of a chei moshfuche and with wrath poured out, im loch aleichem, I will reign over you. Well, Rebbeinu Shalom says that he is reigning over us, right? But is this the kind of a pasuk that we want to mention in connection with Malchios? The answer is no. Because we don't want the Rebbeinu Shalom's what? Chema Shfucha. Okay? The Afal God, the Gemara continues, and even though the Omer Rab Nachman, that Rab Nachman said, Kol Kahai Vitzchol Nirtach Kutche Brichu Alon, may the Rebbeinu Shalom Taka pour out his wrath upon us, the lif rukunun, and then give us salvation. In other words, Rebbeinu Shalom will punish us. Okay, so we'll be punished, but then will come the geula, will come the redemption. So Rav Nachman puts a good spin on it, right? But we say, nevertheless, this is not the kind of thing that we want to say on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because we say, Kevon de Berischa or more, inasmuch as we're talking about the wrath, the anger of the Beit Shalom, is the Kure Rischa Bereshata Le Matkirin. Okay. We don't want to mention this on Rosh Hashanah. We don't want to stir up the Rebbeinu Shalom to give us a bad decree, because we'll make him angry by citing this particular pasuk. Okay? All right. Yes. Afal Gaf means even though. It's like Afal P, same thing. Yeah, means the same thing. Okay. Incidentally, it's a very, very dramatic passage that we have in Yechezkel over there. It's worth reading, take my word for it. And even though at this point, you know, he's full of wrath, but the point that he's making is that even if the Jews, the physical introduction says, and if you get the idea that we don't want to exist anymore as Jews, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, nevertheless, what? Emloch Aleichem, I will reign over you. You cannot get rid of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam by saying, you know, we want to stop being Jews. So this is what Yechezkel says. Of course, Yechezkel himself is a very, very interesting sefer. Not an easy sefer either, by the way. But if you read it, you see that in the 48 chapters in Yechezkel, there's definitely a break when it comes to chapter 24, the halfway point. Because the first 24, or the first 23, if you wish, of Yechezkel, he speaks about the impending doom. Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed because of the wickedness of its people, and so on and so forth and so forth. And then what happens immediately when two things happen simultaneously? He loses his wife, she passes away, Yechezkel, and the news comes from Yerushalayim that the city has been destroyed. He wants to sit shiva for his wife and observe all the rules of mourning, but the Rebbeinu Shalom says to him, do not. Incidentally, we learn about many of the customs of mourning specifically from this passage over here, what we are to do. He's not to do this, not to do that, because Rebbeinu Shalom wants to impress upon him the fact that this catastrophe is even greater than what you could do with ordinary, you know, rites, memory and consolation. And that the catastrophe, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and the, you know, the people of Israel going into captivity. By the way, he himself was a captive in the first, what we call the Golus Yoyachin, which happened roughly 10-11 years prior to the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar had already taken some of the leading people in Yerushalayim and taken them into Babylonian captivity. They were the ones who started the Babylonian community. And then, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, then of course there was a mass captivity on the part of many of the Jews who were taken into Babylonia. Okay? But what I wanted to say is that the catastrophe was so great that Rebbeinu Shalom says, do not mourn for your wife in the ordinary way, because the catastrophe is even greater. Okay? And from that point on, Yechezkel becomes a prophet of preaching the rebirth of Eretz Israel. Some of the finest passages in which he speaks about how the land will once more become fruitful, the mountains of Israel, and so on. And, you know, Beit Shalom says that I will give you Lev Chadosh, Ruach Chadosh, right? A new heart, a new spirit, and so on and so forth. I mean, this is the source in the prophet Yechezkel. Yes?
Well, the first half of his prophecy that inspired by Rav Shalom.
It's all prophecy.
He prophesied the destruction of Israel.
Right. So now his job is to consult the people of Israel and to prophesy that the Rebbeinu Shalom will restore them to their land.
Yeah. That was because of that God's instruction that gave him to encourage the people of the return of the captive.
Of course it is. It's the spirit of God entering in him to tell him to do this. Yes.
Yeah.
Take a look at the beginning of chapter 37 in Yechezkel, which begins with the words, "Hayisolai ruach," like here, right? The spirit of God came unto me. And he caused me to come into a valley which was full of bones, right? Remember the vision of the dry bones and so on, okay? And he asked the prophet, he says, Ben Adam, he says, son of man, he says, can these bones live? Can they ever come back to life again? And the Yechezkel says, you alone, God, know the answer, okay? And suddenly God tells him to prophesy unto them that the Spirit of God should enter with them. And of course it happens, and their bones become knit together, and the flesh becomes knit together, and still the Spirit of God was not there yet, you see. And then he prophesied again, you know, that the Spirit of God should literally blow upon them, and you will live, okay? And this is what happens, and then they stand up on their feet and so on, and the Rebbeinu Shalom tells them what? That these bones represent the household of Israel. In that particular prophecy, as I say, you know, he says that these dry bones, they represent the household of Israel. They say, Yofshu Atzomenu, he says, our bones have become dry. Ofdo Tikvosenu, incidentally, this is where the Hatikva got us, right? Our hope is lost, right? Nigzarnu Lanu, or Nigzarnu, which means that the decree has been passed upon us, and you know, we have no more hope. And the Rebbeinu Shalom says that just as they can stand up on their feet and live, so the people of Israel once more come to life again in its own land and so on. So that there's no question that Yechezkel is a very, very important prophet to read. To a certain extent, you know, I'm sorry that we're not reading Tanakh over here. We should really familiarize ourselves again, you know, with not just the study of Torah that we have every year, you know, every Shabbos to go over the Seder and so on, but to read also the Nevi'im, the Ksuvim and so on, become more familiar with these. Unfortunately, in many cases, the Goyim are far better equipped in knowledge of these sections of the Bible than we are. Tonight is the 27th already, yeah, of December in the year 2000, and we are on Daf Lamed Beis in Rosh Hashanah. I'm quoting once more the Mishnah at the bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, but essentially we'll be learning Lamed Beis Amud Beis tonight. Okay, so the Mishnah, if you remember, last week we had devoted the session primarily to taking a look in the Siddur, which has the Musaf service for Rosh Hashanah, and seeing which are the 10 psukim that they quote for Malchios, 10 for Zichronos, and 10 for Shofros. Okay? And now, tonight, we will continue with the discussion of what kind of psukim should be recited. Why is there any hesitation? The answer is very simply, because at the time when they were first formulating these, there was no set nusach as yet. And because there was no set nusach, they knew that they had to say psukim. Okay, so people knew Torah, they knew Nevi'im, they knew Ksuvim and so on, but people, some of the rabbis, you know, felt that they were free to choose whatever psukim, as long as it had something to do with Malchus or Zichronis or Shofros. Okay? Now, the Mishnah at the very bottom of the page says that Ein Matzkirin, Zichoren, Malchus, Shofros, Shofronis. You do not mention a pasuk for, you know, either Zichronos or Malchios or Shofros, where it deals with the idea of punishment of the people of Israel. Then it says, Maschil b'Torah, you begin by citing psukim from the Torah, Umashlim b'Novi, and you conclude with psukim from the Novi. So in other words, the order for Rosh Hashanah should be, first you cite psukim from the Torah, then you cite psukim from Ksuvim, okay, and then you cite psukim which come from the prophets. And then Rabbi Yossi, oh, there he added as follows, and he said, "Im hishne matoriyotza," that if he concluded with a citation from the Torah, then he has fulfilled the obligation. Now, this is what they want to analyze at this moment. And this is what we have now on Lamed Beis, Omed Beis. The Gemara cited, first of all, Malchios. Okay, how about a pasuk which indicates Puronus, which indicates Tzoras for the people of Israel, even though, what? It speaks about God being king. You understand? Why is it not appropriate? Or what kind of a pasuk is this, you know, that it shows that it's an inappropriate pasuk? Excuse me tonight, my throat is a little scratchy.
You want some water?
I may need it later. I'll try to work without it. Okay. So, the quotation was the one that we were talking about from Yechezkel. Chayoni niyum Hashem, im lo biyot chazokim izroi netuya uvechem oshvucha im lo chaleichem. Where the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says to the people of Israel, and this is one of the great significant passages in Yechezkel, where he says, you think that you're going to say, let's be like all the Goyim, O house of Israel. Let's become Goyim. Why should we be Jews, right? So the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, Chayoni, as I live, saith the Lord, right? Surely with a Yod Chazoka, and a Zeroa Netuya, and a Chemeshvucha, in other words, with a mighty hand, and outstretched arm, and wrath poured forth, Emloch Aleichem, I will be king over you. So, obviously, it's a threat of punishment against Israel, so we don't want to quote it. But an interesting comment is made at this particular point, V'yafal Gav, the Omer Rav Nachman, and even though Rav Nachman said, Kol Kahai Rizchol, Yitach Kutche Baruchu Alon, may the Rabbeinu Shel Olam really pour out all his anger upon us, and then the Lifrikunin, and then let his send us salvation. Alright, so let's suffer through, and then the Rabbeinu Shel Olam bring the Geula, and everything will be fine. So, since there is that optimistic note, if you wish, on the part of Rav Nachman, so why shouldn't we cite this particular passage? So he says, Kevin de Berizcha Almur, it Kore, in other words, even inasmuch as we find anger mentioned over here, we don't want to mention the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to be angry with us on Rosh Hashanah. We have enough tzoras as it is, and this is not the time to tell the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, go ahead, get angry with us. We don't want that. Okay. So therefore, that is not a suitable pasuk, and if we have other pesukim that are like it in Malchus, we don't want to cite them. Okay. Then, the next thing. Okay, zikaron. How about zikronos? What kind of a pasuk don't we want to mention? So it says kagon, for example, by yizkor kibosar hema, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam remembered that we are human beings, right? And therefore, the spirit of us, you know, we do not have our spirit is going to leave us, and we don't want to think along those lines that, you know, we have no hope. Okay, so that's out too. Shofar, how about a pasuk of shofars that we don't want to mention? Kigon, for example, Tiku Shofar Begiva, where the prophet says, sound the shofar in Giva, and of course, and then he's saying, and the nations are going to come to make war against the people of Israel. This we also don't need. So, these are typical examples of Pesukim not to be mentioned either in the Malchios or the Zichronos or the Shofars of Rosh Hashanah. Aval, however, Im Bolomar Malchus Zikor Mishofar Shel Puranu Shel De Goichavim. However, if he wants to cite a pasuk where the anger of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the punishment of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, is going to be poured out upon the Goyim, the Ovdei Kochavim, the idolaters, then I'm there. Okay, that kind of a pasuk you can get by. All right. Malchus, for example. Let's say you want to look for a pasuk for Malchus, right? Okay, so we have in Tehillim Kegon, for example, Ad Hashem Moloch Yirgezu Amin, right? God reigns, right? And the nations tremble. Okay, not bad. Ukegon, or for example, Ad Hashem Melech Olam Voed Ov Dugoyim Yad, so it's also pasuk in Tehillim, right? God is the eternal king, and the nations will perish from his land. Okay, so, so theoretically, it would be all right to recite this, since it's not to the disadvantage of the Yidden, but okay. But nevertheless, I don't have to tell you that these are not pesukim that finally wound up in the official prayers for Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Zikara. All right, how about for Zichronas? After all, you know, God remembers, right? Kegon, example. Zichor Ad Hashem Avnei Edom, right? Remember, O Lord, for the children of Edom, Esiyom Yerushalayim, Ha'om Yomorot Chodbo, right? How the Edomites shouted and said, destroy, destroy Yerushalayim right down to its very foundations, okay? And then after that, the conclusion is, right, that the God will punish the people, you know, who brought destruction upon the Jews because of it, right? So, nevertheless, so theoretically, it could be cited. But, nevertheless, again, I have to tell you, it is not really cited in Rosh Hashanah. I mean, in general, they're not looking to make tzoros with the goyim. Or shall we say that maybe they felt that that's not good to have it, even though theoretically it may be permissible, but nevertheless, this is not something that you want to do. Okay? One of the reasons why I'm thinking, you know, of learning Gittin, even though it's one of the longer Gemaras, is because there's a certain chapter in there which deals with the relations between Jews and the Goyim in reference to the Tikkun Olam concept. Okay? So that's one of the reasons why I have a little inclination to do that. But as I told you, it's a long Gemara. However, if you're willing to do it, then I'd be very willing. And so maybe let's consider it. Okay. I haven't made up my mind, definitely. If you have other suggestions, I'm still welcoming them. Okay.
Hagiga.
Huh?
Hagiga.
Hagiga. You want to do Hagiga, I know. You're entranced by the four who came into the party.
Well, I feel there's more Midrash.
All right. I shall consider that too. Okay. All right. Now, what's interesting, however, is the next citation, Shofar. Okay. It says Kegon, for example, Vadashem Olekim Bashofar Yiskov, right? That the Lord God will sound the shofar, right? The Holach Besaros Teimon, and he will march on, so to speak, with the storms coming from the south. In other words, what? Ribbono Shel Olam will bring storms of punishment, you know, upon the Goyim, right? And then Uksiv, and then next part of the Pasuk says, Ad Hashem Tzvaos Yogein Aleihem, may the Lord God protect them. Believe it or not, this we do say. This is a pasuk which we do have as part of the service. Why? Because we say that we want the Ribbono Shel Olam to protect the people of Israel. Okay? So, that's one category. Things not to say. Now, another category, things, so there's, you know, quotations, citations not to use on Rosh Hashanah. It says, Ein matzkirin, nor do we mention Zikorin Shel Yochid, where the remembrance is only for an individual rather than for whom? Rather than for the people of Israel. Okay? Vafilatovin, even though it is a mention, you know, of remembrance for good. Kegon, for example, Zochreini Yad Hashem Birtzon Amecha, remember me, O Lord, in your desire, you know, and your love for your people. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a God's fine the posik and so on and so forth. But because it says, remember me, O Lord, rather than remember us, this is the reason why it should not be cited. Uchigom, or another example, Zochor li Elohai l'tovo. In Nehemiah, he has this prayer, and he says, remember me, O Lord, for good. But again, there's nothing wrong with the idea. The idea is wonderful, right? However, for Rosh Hashanah, where we think in terms of the Kalal Yisrael, the entire people and community of Israel, then in that particular case, this also we would not mention, because it deals only with the remembrance of one individual. Then another category. It says, Pigdonos, where it says that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam remembered this, but it did not use the word Zohar or Zoicher or something like that, right? But uses instead the word Pokad, as for example, what Hashem Pokad is Sora. So one opinion says, Harei Hein Kizichronos. They are the same as Zichronos. Kigon, as for example, what Hashem Pokad is Sora, right? God literally remembered Sarah, although in English they use the word God visited Sarah, but that's not a very good translation, the word visit, because in modern English a visit has nothing to do with a remembrance, okay? Uchagal, or for example, it's written concerning the people of Israel in Egypt, it says, Pokod, Pokodati, Eschem, right? I surely have remembered you, right? And the Rebbeinu Shalom says, and as a result, I will free you from the bondage of Egypt, right?
But isn't there also with the golden calf? I'll remember the golden calf.
Yes. 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 Okay.
So that's not a good thing.